Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon is the Old Testament lesson appointed for today. We read in the book of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 62, the first five verses. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Thus far, the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Epiphany King, dearly loved by God. One of the joys we pastors get to go through in our ministry is to see and hear couples, brides and grooms, speak their vows to one another. The man leaves his father and mother and becomes one flesh with his new wife. God establishes a new family, a new home. The bride is most radiant there in her beautiful dress, in her beautiful makeup, in her beautiful hair. But she is really radiant in her heart. And she is radiant in her heart because she hears her new husband pledge his faithfulness only to him and to no others, so long as they both shall live. One custom in connection with marriage is the bride to take the surname of her husband. That isn't done quite as often as it used to be. It's a good custom. It speaks to two things in marriage. First of all, that unity, that one flesh that husband and wife now become. Even more, it speaks to the husband's responsibility to her. It speaks to the husband's responsibility to sacrifice everything, even his life, for the sake of his bride. And this is a reflection in Christian marriages of that spiritual marriage between Christ and his church. Christ made that sacrifice, everything, even his life. In our text this morning, God, the Lord, speaks through the mouth and pen of the prophet, describing the glory of that spiritual marriage. The glory that we, the bridegroom of Christ, have through our groom and through his sacrifice for us. We are radiant in that sacrifice. We are to his glory in that sacrifice as he pledges himself and his faithfulness to us. And part of that spiritual marriage is giving us a new name. The Lord, the mouth of the Lord, bestows on us a new name. Because no longer are we deserted or desolate. But now the Lord has taken us as his holy bride. When we look at the nation Israel and the city of Jerusalem at the time of the prophet Isaiah, it was not radiating because of her unfaithfulness to her bridegroom, because of unfaithfulness to her Lord. We might even say that here God talks about leaving Israel at the altar. He is going to desert her. The Babylonians are going to come and lay her land desolate because of their idolatry. And so people would look at Israel and call that once great nation deserted. God's enemies, Israel and Jerusalem's enemies, would call the great city of Jerusalem desolate. But that circumstance was not going to last, because God had promised that he would deliver the remnant of believers one day and return them to the promised land. This prophecy, however, does not speak to Israel as a nation, as a physical nation. It doesn't speak to Jerusalem as an earthly city. Isaiah 62, 1-5 is a direct revelation and prophecy of the New Testament church, of the day in which God would have kept his promise of sending their Savior and ours. So in that sense, it does apply to the church, to the believers in Israel, but it's mainly making application, the Lord is making application to the New Testament era, to the New Testament church, to that day of Christ and his fulfillment. Epiphany, as the light of Christ shines out into all the world, into the darkness of unbelief. And so through Isaiah, the Lord speaks, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch." The church is Zion, the hill on which Jerusalem is built. Jerusalem is the church, the spiritual city and kingdom of God. And the Lord says, "I will not be silent until the righteousness of the church shines out like the sun shines as it rises over the horizon in the dawn. I will not be silent. My word will continue to come and go out until all nations see that radiancy of the church in my forgiveness, like a torch blazes through the darkness of the night." God's greatest creation is his church, as he gives to us his righteousness under the law. Our righteousness is Christ's righteousness. His obedience is our obedience, and that righteousness of Christ shines out to all the world in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has taken us to himself as a radiant bride, as a holy bride cleansed in the washing of water and the word. So his righteousness shines out. Our salvation, which is Christ, shines out into the world, into the darkness of unbelief, like a blazing torch. Often, people in the church, we believers, can begin to become rather negative or rather fearful or rather cowering in our work of sharing the gospel, as if we think it's not really doing any good, as if we think there really is nobody that appreciates it, as if a war against Christians that's been going on since the beginning of time and will continue till the end of time, a war against Christians, a war against Christ, a war against the Word, we can begin to think that the radiance that we have in Christ's righteousness and His salvation is somehow then diminished or dimmed or turned down, like you turn down the lights on your dashboard from bright to dim. Or maybe that God's enemies can even flip the switch and turn off the brightness of the church. God says here, I won't rest. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. The enemies of the church of Christ will never diminish the glory that we bear as the bride of Christ. His righteousness, His salvation that is ours in our Savior. Nobody can call us desolate. Nobody can call us deserted, because our God, even in all of our sins and all of our weaknesses and all of our fears and hesitations, we are never deserted by God. Our enemies can never lay us waste because we have that power of Christ. Because as the bride of Christ, we have now taken His surname. We have taken His name because now we are united with Him. We radiate out into the world His promise and vow of faithfulness to us that He made on the cross, declared with His empty tomb, given us at the baptismal font. The radiant glory that we shine as the church of Christ is not our own, but it is ours because of our marriage to Him. As we take His power and His authority and His strength and His word to the world. And we do that now as His holy bride, bearing a new name, His name. You will be called Hephzibah, and your land, Beulah. And you may be familiar with the hymns all about Beulah land. That's where that comes from. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. He has given us a new name, His name. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Hephzibah means my joy in her, or my delight is in her. And Beulah means the married one. So we bear those new names, the name of our bridegroom. He has taken great delight in us, because He has given us the radiant beauty that makes us His bride. He has married us, taken us to Himself in that unity of faith, and He rejoices over you. So just as a new bride is radiant in the vows of her husband to sacrifice all, even his life for her, so the new bridegroom rejoices and finds joy now in his responsibility to do that, in his privilege to do that, to have somebody with whom he is now one that he can watch over and protect and be together in Christ and to enjoy that wonderful relationship that God has given them. The reason that Christ has joined us to himself is so that we can now shine out the radiance of his glory. So that he can say, here is my bride. Look how radiant she is. Look how beautiful she is. Because she has my righteousness. She has my salvation. That's what really Epiphany season is all about. Shining that light of Christ out into the world. A light that the wise men saw in the star that shined in the east and brought them to Christ as it rested over where he was in Bethlehem. That light is what we shine in the word of Christ, as we heard Pastor Gross speak about last week, to all the people in India, to the people in Africa and Asia and Europe and down the street. Epiphany is about the bride of Christ shining brightly in the radiant love of her husband, of her bridegroom, so that they can see it. God says, the nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Just as a king will take his crown or his royal turban and hold it in his hand as a sign of his authority and his majesty and his power, so our God holds in his hands, our Savior holds in his hands the church as that visible sign of his glory and power and majesty. This is not the crown that brides and grooms would wear in ancient times in marriage. These are the crowns that kings would hold in their hands and put on their heads to show their power and their authority and their majesty and their grace to their subjects. When we think of God's creation, the first thing that generally pops into our mind is the creation of heaven and earth, and the special creation of man and woman. But those all pale in comparison to the creation of the church. And why is that? I promised the Bible class this morning I'd give them a second to think if I ask a question. Because the heavens and the earth will pass away. They're only here temporarily, but the church lasts forever. The church will continue on and on as that holy bride of Christ. And one day we will shine out even visibly in that radiance of our bridegroom. And so just as a beautiful bride lives to the glory and radiance of her husband, and that husband takes pride in his wife, so we shine out in that radiance of Christ's righteousness and Christ's salvation. And there is no greater thing that Christ has for us than for us to go out into the world, the glorification of his church. Christ glorifies his church in the world so that he gets the glory for creating that church, for giving that church the things that makes it radiant in the first place. You and I and all believers are the radiant work of Christ. And so as you and I go out into the world in this eternal kingdom, as we go out shining in those wonderful gifts that God has given us, as we go out as Epiphany Christians, shining that light out into the world, We too will not hesitate. We too will not fear. We too will not keep silent. We will not remain quiet till our righteousness shines out like the dawn and our salvation like a blazing torch, because it is the righteousness of our King. It is the salvation of our Lord. Amen.